Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, in the transfiguration of your Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the witness of Moses and Elijah, and in the voice from the bright cloud declaring Jesus your beloved Son, you foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us heirs with Christ of your glory, and bring us to enjoy its fullness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Magnifying glass, and I'm going to sit right over here. You girls turn around so I can talk with you. Would you tell me, what is a magnifying glass used for?
Discovering smaller objects.
Let's take a look. Let's take a look at, here, I see something little. I see something little right here. Oh, look at that. That little bird or flower, or what is that? Oh, it's a heart. We can see that when we use a magnifying glass. And this has a special thing on it. What do you think this is? What do you think that part? Yeah, that's even brighter. That's even bigger. That magnifying glass helps us to see things close up. What would you like to look at? What would you like to look at? Let's take a look. Oh my gosh, you have huge ears. Better to hear you with. I've heard that story. Oh my gosh, look at her big eye. Better to see you with. So we use magnifying glass to help us look at something small and understand it better. We can see the details, we can understand and see. Well, today in the story from the Bible, Jesus goes up on top of a mountaintop with his three best friends, and he shows them, he doesn't use a magnifying glass, but he shows them himself in such brightness and glory that they can see close up how Jesus is. So I want you, we don't have Sunday school today, so I want you to listen carefully to the story and see if a magnifying glass is a good image for today's story. Okay, so let's sing and we'll go back to your places.
Reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and for 40 nights. Word of God, word of life. A reading from 2 Peter.
Can you do the psalm, Anne?
What?
Read the psalm.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay, the psalm next. Let us pray Psalm 2 responsively. Why are the nations in such an uproar? Why do the people mutter empty threats? Why do the kings of the earth rise up, no hope, and the principals plot together against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed? Let us break their yoke, they said. Let us cast off their bonds from us. God, whose throne is in the heaven, is laughing. The Lord holds them in derision. Then in wrath, God speaks to them, and in rage fills them with terror. As for me, I have anointed my king upon Zion, my Holy Spirit. Let me announce the decree of the Lord, who said to me, you are my son, this day I begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give to the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall crush them with an iron rod and shatter them like a piece of pottery. Submit to the Lord with fear and with trembling blow in worship. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second reading from Peter 2. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father, whom that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, this is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard his voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well with the to be attentive to this and to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns, until the morning star rises in your hearts. First, all of you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, this is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, get up and do not be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Listen to him. Do not be afraid. Those three phrases, instruction, command, and promise, we really need to hear these words today. This is a confusing time, maybe an exciting time, but for sure, this is an uncertain time. I don't know if James and Peter and John knew what to make of this mountaintop experience. I know I don't. This whole transfiguration event is rather hard to interpret. And the world that we live in today is so filled with so many confusing events. There is such angry rhetoric. The world is filled with tension and uncertainty about the future. Some people dread what is happening in our nation. Others find it very exciting. On the mountaintop in the first century, it was a confusing, exciting time. And Peter said, Lord, it's good that we are here. It is good that we are here today. When you come in to worship God, you might not remember the songs or the sermon, but hopefully when you leave worship, you can say, it is good for me to be here today. Sometimes it's difficult to put your finger on whether something in this moment is either good or bad. Have you heard the story? It's an old Chinese tale about good luck and bad luck. The farmer used his old horse to plow his, till his fields. And one day, the horse took off and ran up into the hills. And the old farmer was consoled by his neighbors who said, what bad luck. And the farmer said, bad luck, good luck, who knows. About a week later, the horse comes back down from the hills, followed by a whole herd of wild horses. And the neighbors said, wow, good luck. You've got all these horses now. And the farmer said, good luck, bad luck, who knows. His son was decided that he would break one of these horses, and he was trying to train it, and he was bucked off the back of the horse, and he broke his leg. The neighbors said, oh, what bad luck, your help is hurt now, bad luck. And the farmer said, bad luck, good luck, who knows. About a week later, the army comes marching into the village, conscripting all of the able-bodied young men in the village. And of course, they didn't want this boy with the broken leg, so he was left in the village with his father. And the neighbors said, bad luck, good luck, bad luck. Too bad that your son, you know, good for you that your son was hurt, that now he gets to stay home. And the farmer said, good luck, bad luck, who knows. Now that story could go on and on. It already has, I know, you can, yeah, we got the point, guys. Yeah. You know, it's good luck, bad luck, who knows. So for you today, is this a good day or a bad day? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Maybe you're sitting here with a heavy heart today. Maybe you're here with great joy in your heart. But whatever, good luck, bad luck, make room in your heart for God. Make room for God in your heart and say, it is good for us to be here. It is good. But I still need to look back at these phrases of instruction and command and promise. First, the instruction. Listen to him. Words from God's mouth to our ears. We are told, listen to him. When the world seems so crazy, we need more than ever to come to church, to gather with community, to try to hear what God is saying to us. We might not agree on just how to interpret what we hear, but we can agree that the best way to understand God is to look to Jesus and listen to him, to pay attention to what Jesus does and pay attention to what Jesus says, to pay attention to who Jesus reaches out to pay attention to who it is that Jesus gives his care and his attention. It's true that we will not always agree on what we should or shouldn't be doing as church. But if we all agree to listen to Jesus together and to trust that it is even the people that we disagree with are also trying to listen to Jesus, we will get closer to what God intends for us. This is the instruction. Listen to him. And next is the command. Get up. Well, it's even more than get up. If you went to seminary and had to learn Greek, you know that the word get up means more than just get up. This is the same word that Matthew uses when the angels speak to the women at the tomb. And the angels say, he isn't here. He has gotten up. He has risen up. He has resurrected. So when Jesus says to those disciples, he uses the word get up, rise up, be resurrected. More than just stand on your feet, but have a new life. Get up. The command is for us. We hear that command today that we are to get up, to be risen, to be resurrected right now, today, in these confusing and uncertain times. Get up. Here's some good news, though. Whenever God gives a command, he also gives the power to make that command possible. When we read in the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, when God said, let there be light, gives a command, there was light. The power to have light was there. When God says to us, when Jesus says, get up to us, we are given the power to fulfill that command, to be resurrected, to have new life. Jesus gives us that call to action, to do something, to get up, and also gives us the will and the energy to do it, to act, to make a difference, to be about those works of mercy and compassion that God is always calling us to do. So we have the instruction, listen to him, and the command, get up, be risen, be resurrected. In other words, do something. And finally, the promise. The promise, do not be afraid. This is a trademark sentence in the Gospels, a trademark sentence in the Bible. These are words that we really need to hear. Do not be afraid. The fears that we each experience may be different, but we all have fears. The fear of terrorism, the prospect of a job loss, the fading from our national view of our core values, the slipping possibility of a better future for the next generation, a terrible diagnosis, an unexpected death, and the list goes on and on. We all have fears. Fear is part of the common fabric of our lives, even though it shows up differently for each of us. There may be different fears, but the gospel response is the same. Because God is God of the past, the present, and the future, we do not need to fear, because God is our God. And God says, do not be afraid. It's not the same thing as saying that you won't have any problems, or that you will avoid all troubles and hardships, that nothing bad will ever come your way. This is recognizing that we trust God in our individual and in our communal goodness, that we believe that God is with us always. That's why we don't need to fear. Fear isn't about a lack of faith. We all have fears. The truth is, though, that God did not create us for fear, for death, for destruction. God created us for life, for resurrection. God doesn't want us to be afraid, but to stand up and to go forward, even, or maybe especially, in confusing, uncertain times when there is so much fear. That it is now that God promises, do not be afraid. Stand up. Act with courage, with confidence. Listen to him. Get up. Do not fear. It's important to remember these words that are said about Jesus, listen to him, and by Jesus. Jesus says, get up. Do not be afraid. These words are said about Jesus and by Jesus on that mountain of the Transfiguration, where he comes back down the mountaintop to the realities of daily life and makes his way to Jerusalem. To Jerusalem, where he will be arrested and convicted and crucified. The world just couldn't stand the encouragement and the hope that Jesus was bringing. But the story doesn't end there. The story continues with the promise that God raised Jesus from the dead so that all of us might have the hope that there is more to life than we can see. So that all of us might know that God is with us every step of our way. So that all of us might know that love and life are stronger than hate and death. Listen to him. Get up. Do not fear.